Let us pray. Father, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, and the obedience of our lives, not only now, but throughout 2018, may now and always pleasing and fruitful in your eyes, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A very warm good morning and a blessed 2018 blessing others. You have in your service order today an insert with the sermon outline, "No longer a slave, but a son." Today is also called the naming and circumcision of Jesus. And we are still in the Christmas tide. Christmas for the world, in some countries, even starts as early as September and ends on 25th December. But for Christians, if we follow the church calendar, it's actually from 25th December to the 6th of January, when we have the Epiphany of our Lord, or the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles, when we commemorate the wise men, the Magi from the east, coming to Jerusalem to seek for the child-born King of the Jews, and they were directed to Bethlehem. And so, a joyous Christmas. And the important point that of the Gospel reading from Luke chapter 2, 15 to 21, is that at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus. And this is in keeping with the Old Testament law. And that law requires that every male child should be circumcised on the 8th day. And so, 25th of December, the church having chosen that day to celebrate the Nativity of Christ, 1st of January is the 8th day. And so that is why we have these readings today from Luke 2 and Galatians 4:47, which I will focus on, the epistle passage. We find that God sent his Son and God sent the Spirit of his Son. In human terms, 25th birthday, when we turn 21, is the age when we turn into the age of majority. Before that, we're in the age of minority. That means we do not have legal adulthood. But in Christian terms, that 21st birthday is when we repent of our sins and turn to Jesus Christ. But we are still talking about the situation when Paul was writing to the Galatians. Many Gentiles, a few Jews. And so the practice then was that a minor was under tutelage, under guardianship, until they reach the age of majority. And so on the spiritual plane, we are prisoners of the law. And so Jesus' parents chose to have him circumcised according to the law, the Jewish law, on the 8th day. But Jesus came because all the Jews and all mankind couldn't keep the law, whether it is the law of nature, of general conscience, but or for the Jews, the Ten Commandments as a summary of the Torah. And so they were prisoners of sin, because sin separates the soul that sin shall die. So even though physically alive, the one living in sin, in direct disobedience of the law, is in a spiritual state of death. And so here we find that no longer a slave, but a son. And this is what we find as we read in Galatians 4:4-7, that in the fullness of time, Galatians 4:4, God sent forth his son. So this fullness of time is in the context of time. And for those who, under authority of Scripture, we know that time exists from the time God created the world. And time comes to an end when Jesus returns. And so time is set in the context of eternity. And therefore, in the fullness of historical time, we read in Mark 1:15, Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in God." Paul to Timothy, 1 Timothy 2:5-6, "For there is one God, and there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, which is the testimony given at the proper time." Time is fulfilled at the proper time. And in Hebrews 1:1-2, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world." Yes, Jesus is the perfect prophet, priest, and king. The preceding prophets brought the word of God. People continued to reject God, to disobey the commandments, and so live in spiritual death. And in these last days, the writer of Hebrews tells us, he has spoken to us not by a prophet, but by his Son, God himself. We also find in 1 Timothy 6, "Until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time, he who is blessed, the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords." So Paul writes also in Ephesians 1:10, "Set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth." So Jesus is the mediator, the priest who reveals the Father to us and who intercedes for us to the Father. So he is the mediator. And that is why he can proclaim, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." But more than being the mediator, he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And because Jesus has revealed the glory of God to us, he has revealed to us God's standard, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God revealed in Jesus. Therefore, all of us have only one recourse, to repent and turn to Jesus. And so Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 6:1-2, "Working together with him then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he said, 'In a favorable time I listened to you. In a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is a favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.'" So whenever the word is preached, we have this Paul told us in Colossians 1:28, him we proclaim, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man, woman, and child perfect, complete in Christ, mature in Christ. So the Word of God, which is not just meant to be proclaimed over the pulpit, but meant for you to hear, read, meditate, memorize, study, and obey every day of your lives, is in order that the Word of God may disturb the comfortable warning, and it may comfort the disturbed. So from the pulpit, all you hear is comforting the disturbed. But you miss out on the other half, disturbing the comfortable, those who are complacent in their sin, who may say, oh, I'm better than somebody else, I'm not as bad as somebody else, I'm okay. You know, the Word of God tells us that Jesus alone is the standard, that Christ in us alone is the hope of glory. It's not our works before being Christians or works after being receiving Christ. It is always Christ. And so God sent His Son. And so when they reach the age of majority, or in this case, when we repent and receive Jesus Christ, we are still those who have no rights, because we do not have the righteousness of God. And God sent Jesus Christ so that, it's in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake, He made Him, the Father made the Son, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. So I always declare that God allowed the greatest miscarriage of justice on the cross. We who are sinners, who deserve God's wrath, because in our sins we have been abominations before God. The soul that sins shall die, because God is a holy God. Our sin is taken by Jesus. And Jesus was tempted in every respect, yet without sin. So that He is the only one who has faced every kind of temptation to its nth degree and remained sinless. So that as the spotless Lamb of God, the only perfect human being, He may die in our place, so that our sins are borne by Him. He bears the punishment we deserve. We receive His righteousness, which we do not deserve. Our poverty is given to Him. His riches are given to us. He dies our death, and His life is given to us. And there's no other way that we can come to the Father. Never by our works. Before we are Christians, or since we become Christians, it is 100% what Jesus has done. So that we can only come in humility before God. And when we cry, Hosanna, we are saying, Ho, Jehovah, Anna, mercy, Jehovah God, have mercy on me. And all because of Jesus. And the name Jesus is in the Greek, Jesus. And the equivalent in Hebrew is English, Joshua. God, our Redeemer. God, our Deliverer. Or in colloquial terms, God to the rescue. We cannot save ourselves. And we don't have the power in us after becoming Christians to live the life of Christ. It is only Christ in us, the hope of glory. So, now that we have received sonhood, we are adults, we were set free from sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and we have been set free to be God's slaves. Okay, we cannot, no human being is a free agent. We cannot say, I don't want to serve myself, the world, and the devil. I also don't want to serve God. We must make a choice. And that choice we have to do every day of our lives. It's not just a once and for all. When you're converted, you pass from darkness into life, from spiritual poverty to spiritual riches. But it is, as we said earlier, when we prayed, our neglect of fellowship and the means of grace. Now, this means of grace is a very traditional Anglican understanding. Actually, not Anglican, it's scriptural. The means of grace are word, prayer, fellowship, sacraments, and witness. These Jesus set as his example for us. And these Jesus also commanded us as spiritual disciplines, whereby we receive his grace. Word, prayer, fellowship, sacraments, and witness. So be it 2017, which is past, or 2018, or until God calls you to himself. Daily, we need to receive God's riches at Christ's expense, grace, through the Word of God, through prayer, through fellowship, through sacraments, and through witness. Christians cannot coast along. Why? Because the salvation of the lost is dependent on us. Jesus has completed the work, and now we have to bring that finished work to the lost. We cannot just come to church on Sundays or even today and say, oh, I braved the rain, you know. I'm here, others are not, you know. But God's, when we are set free from self, the world, and the devil, we now take on what is on God's heart. And what is on God's heart is 2 Peter 3:9, that none should perish, but that all should reach repentance. So if you're a true Christian, then whatever is on God's heart must be on your heart. Too often we say, God, what is on my heart must be on your heart. You know, we impose on God what we want. We truly live when God's desires are in us. He is the King. We work in His power and we give Him the glory. That's what the suffix of the Lord's Prayer is. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. So whenever we do that, and think that, and speak that, then we are doing it in the name of Jesus. He must be the King. If we do not read God's Word, we will never know. We will be bombarded by social media and so on. And what we receive, we become. We receive the garbage of the world, we will only produce the garbage of the world. And so daily we have to feed the Word of God so that God's propaganda comes into our mind, into our hearts and lives. We are reminded through God's Word who He is, what His will is, and what His promises are. We forget. We are those who leak. We are spiritually leaky vessels. And so we need to keep on topping up every day with the means of grace, the life of Jesus in us. And then we can live in the age of majority. So then we can fulfill not just seeking God for our rights and privileges, but also fulfill our responsibilities and duties. in the liturgy of communion, we have our joy and our duty. We cannot have joy without duty. We cannot have warning without comfort. They go together. So we have rights as God's children, but we have responsibilities to fulfill what is on the Father's heart, that none should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And all of us have got 1 year older. And God tells us between now and the time when we depart this life, God has a task for us. And in Matthew 24:14, Jesus tells us, and this gospel of the kingdom must be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Then the end will come. So we cannot just sit in our pews and worship God and say, Maranatha, Lord, come. But we do not lift a finger to pray, to give, to go, to send our children to the ends of the earth. Because God's purpose is that every nation, people, tongue, and tribe, every family, every individual be evangelized, receive the good news. Why? Because God's grace is sufficient for the whole world. It's not just God's grace sufficient for me, you know. And God's presence in our lives is contingent on us going and making disciples of all nations. So if we only pray for God, give me physical healing, supply my needs, give me my promotion, and that's all that is on your heart, you are no different from a non-Christian. If you are Christian, you are Christ one, then what is on Christ's heart, what is on the Father's heart, must be on your heart, that none should perish, but all should reach repentance. And so, John 8:31-32, is the motto of the Anglican Communion. If you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In the ESV, if you abide in my word. So the word of God continues to set us free from ourselves, the world, and the devil, and makes us captive to the word of God, captive to God's purpose, that none should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And then the truth will set us free. So remember, we're not free agents, but we're free to serve God, to please God, to worship God, to give Him glory and pleasure. That is why God created us for. But in the process, He makes us like Jesus. We shortchange ourselves. Too often, we just want to be saved, you know, to have the assurance that when we die, we go to heaven. But God's intention for us is to make us like Jesus. So when you're fully like Jesus, you're fully fit and prepared to live with Him. But if you're still half the devil and half like Jesus, you know, you are shortchanging yourself. And so this sermon at the beginning of the year is to remind us of the basics: word, prayer, fellowship, sacraments, and witness. We can feed ourselves, and Singaporeans are good. We often live to eat. But Jesus reminds us from Moses, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So if even before your breakfast, it is important that you read the Word of God. At our two transepts, we have copies of the Bible reading plan. And please take one and please use it. Okay? The birthday present that you can give to Jesus this Christmas 2018 is that you read through the whole Bible this year. This is my life sentence. Every year of my life, I must read through the whole Bible, the 66 books, in the year. Well and good if you can read through the Bible 3 times a year. But it is very sad if you call yourself Christian and you don't even bother to read the Bible. I'm sure there's some here who have never read through the Bible once and you call yourself a Christian. If you are Christ one, how do you know who Christ is, what he wants you to do, his promises, except through the scripture? Yes, you may say some of the parts of the Bible are a closed book to me. It remains a closed book if you don't read. As you read, the plain meaning will come in. And you see the plan of God's salvation for all mankind, for you and through you. And so, this is one practical resolution for this year. Take a copy and start reading 3 to 4 chapters a day from Genesis to Revelation, and make it your birthday present to Jesus at Christmas. God sent his Son, God sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. The Holy Spirit enabled Jesus to depend on and to obey his Father, our Father. And so, the means of grace is not only Jesus' example, it's also Jesus' command that we feed on his word, that we pray, that we not only love our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus says in the upper room in John 13, 34, 35, a new commandment I give to you, even as I have loved you, love one another. So Jesus' standard is not human. Jesus' standard is superhuman. It is divine. Jesus says, as I have loved you, I've laid down my life for you. You must love one another. And not one another is not just love fellow Christians. You must love the lost because God loves them. Not because they are loving and lovable, but that's what sin is. Sin makes us unloving, unlovable, unreasonable. But once we come to Christ, we receive his salvation, we receive daily the means of grace, we become like Jesus, loving, lovable, reasonable, and able to love the unloving, the unlovable. And so, do not just step across the margin. 1 foot in the world, the flesh and the devil, another foot in God's kingdom. God tells us to march on to the heavenly Jerusalem, to be fully like Jesus. Christ in us is the hope of glory. So the more you are like Christ, the more assurance that when you depart this life, you be with Jesus. But if you're playing the margin, you know, you have no assurance. It is not what we do that saves us, but what we do gives us assurance that we are no longer the boss. The devil is no longer the boss. The world is no longer my boss, but Jesus is my boss. And so pray. The Holy Spirit enables us to pray. Romans 8, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And the Word, the Bible, is also the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who wrote through the gospel writers, and the Holy Spirit illuminates as we read the Word today, so that we may know God, we may know his will, and we may claim his promises. And one promise again, that God has made that is contingent on you and I. He says that every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the honor and glory of the Father. Is that the case now? No. Even in the church. And God tells us it is to the extent that we lay down our lives. Yes, we suffer for Jesus Christ, not suffer for our salvation that Jesus has done. We suffer so that his gospel can be brought to others. It may involve persecution, involve laying aside your route of advancement, helping a happy family, and so on. Even the rule of law that we enjoy here in Singapore, putting that aside to bring Christ to others. You mean giving your children, your grandchildren, for the cause of world missions? Is that too much to ask? If Jesus left the Father's side in order to become a creature, live a sinless life so that he may be the Lamb of God that takes away our sin and the sin of the world, and God vindicated what he had done by raising him from the dead, is that too much to ask? And so that is what God calls us to bear fruit that befit repentance, to show that we have reached the age of majority, that we no longer are our own, but we have set free to serve God. And so as Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, so God calls us now to follow his example, to complete and to perfect the bride of Christ. That is the task that God has given to the church, to each one of you and myself, that we, through world evangelization, we complete the bride of Christ. Through discipling, we perfect the bride of Christ. Until that is done, Jesus will not come back again. We are his hands and feet, his mouth. May we not be wanting. May Jesus find the fruit, see the fruit of the travail of his soul, and be satisfied. Let us pray. Father, we ask that you help us to receive afresh your Son, to receive afresh the Spirit of Jesus. Help us to continue in the means of grace, your word, prayer, fellowship, sacraments, and witness. Help us to know that our calling is to follow Jesus and to obey him, and to bring Jesus to others so that they too may follow you and obey you, so that all may worship you because you alone are worthy of worship. The self is not worthy of worship. The world is not worthy of worship. The devil certainly is not worthy of worship. Only you are. And so, Father, help us to worship by being your witnesses, by making our lives count for you, in waiting for and hastening the return of Jesus, in laying down our lives, in being willing to suffer voluntarily, that Christ may have a bride that is both completed and perfected. For his name's sake, we pray. Amen. We will continue with the covenant.